Introducing The Fiber, brought to you by Live Oak Fiber. This open forum is meant to inspire, empower, and set the record straight for consumers and better broadband enthusiasts alike.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning into The Fiber. I'm Kimber McCafferty, and I'm joined by Tiffany Scher today, all the way from Canada.
From Vancouver, British Columbia, the West Coast.
That's amazing. And you're my first female guest, so I'm excited to have a female friend in here today talking about internet service, cloud solutions, all of the above.
Yes.
So you are Area Vice President for Cloud Solutions for Calix.
Yes, ma'am.
What is that?
Good question.
Yes.
I know. I feel like there are so many titles. Calix is, as many people know, growing so rapidly. So we change things all the time. But in a nutshell, Area Vice President, it means that I'm responsible for a particular set of product lines globally for the business. Cloud Solutions is because the products that I support are the ones that live on top of our hardware.
Okay.
That produce the data that gives you, the ISP or the BSP, information to guide your business strategy.
Okay. How did you end up here?
Oh my goodness. It's a good question. Do you ever wonder, ask yourself, like, how did I even end up in this, you know, broadband, sure, but how did I get into tech? How did I get into, I'm a sales leader. I've been running sales teams for 8 years now. I sold myself for 10 years before that. And it's like you fell backwards by mistake into sales. My degree is in psychology.
Okay.
So my passion is people. Mm-hmm. And that's my background. I just did a presentation last week for the sales leaders at Calix. And the question was, why leadership? So it really got me thinking. And I have this fundamental belief that people in business, the experiences you have in business, shape who you are outside of business.
Yeah.
And so we all have this responsibility to one another to make sure those experiences are positive and fruitful and empowering. And the first product that I sold way back my first year out of college was soft skills development. So it was this little module that lives inside of a learning management system, which is a platform-based SaaS product.
Okay.
So we're going in and helping teams learn how to communicate better and these kinds of things. And I'm like, oh, they're going to talk better with their kids. Oh, they're going to communicate better with, and that excited me.
Uh-huh.
Then I was like, got asked to sell the platform. So here we are. My background is not in broadband. I've been in broadband for 2.5 years, but I've been in platform-based SaaS for 16 years, and I fell into it. But every opportunity, I mean, technology is fascinating to me. It's changing the human, you know, the human race, the way we operate. But strategic selling, there's such an opportunity to have an impact on people's lives, customers, employees, this kind of thing.
And that keeps you engaged.
Absolutely. It gives you a purpose.
What's a day in the life of Tiffany like? You've been on the road for 4 weeks.
I have, yes. And that is atypical. You know, there's usually a little bit more balance. So my role, I have a number of sales leaders reporting to me, and then they have a number of sellers that are, you know, salespeople out there working with the broadband providers. So a day can look anything like a few days on the road where I'm meeting with customers and having the conversation about, you know, we all know right now in the industry, funding is this huge topic. Where is it coming from? Do you have private equity? Are you a part of BEAD? Did you get RDOF? What does it look like? And so the conversation is about, who do you want to be as an ISP going forward? Because whilst you sold in this region, you're expanding into all of these regions, and suddenly you're going to have competition. Suddenly you have to become sticky inside of the home of your subscriber or your customer, whatever it is. So I have a lot of those kind of conversations. Also internally, as you join a company that's growing quickly, you quickly outgrow the processes. Mm-hmm. And something excites me is, how can we fix something? I love to fix it, repair it, evolve it, come up with something new. So I spend a lot of time on that as well.
Have you been in our meetings lately? No, listen, we're a year in. Of course, we're going through growing pains. Mm-hmm. That's just par for the course.
Sure.
And a year in, different processes are coming up as essential.
Exactly.
Which is what happens. It's the organic part of growth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it can be really easy to become comfortable with how things are operating now. And so you want to operate that way because we just finally mastered it. But it's not working anymore. It's not efficient. So how do we
scale to grow?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Both internally, but also as a brand, as a BSP. I've been, and I know it's kind of can be a touchy subject, but I have been touting my 1 gig or my 5 gig or my 2 gig service till I'm blue in the face. But does the 65-year-old mom, single mom who is, you know, her kids are out of the home, does she know what internet she needs? Does she know she's a 2 gig? Who identifies as a 500 megger? Mm-hmm. I certainly don't. Mm-hmm. But you tell me I can make sure your Zoom never, ever goes down. I'm like, how much money do you want?
Yeah.
Like, take my money.
Yeah.
So it's things like that that excite me to help our customers, frankly, make that shift or start to go that way.
What does a customer look like for you? Like, we're your customer per mm-hmm. se mm-hmm. In one arena, but then you've got other lines of business too, mm-hmm. I would imagine. What does a typical customer look like for you?
I think there, you know, so there are a whole bunch of different personas of customer. If we want to talk about it that way, we work with, we work with cooperatives, we work with utilities, we work with people who have been the ILEC versus the incumbent. And quite honestly, I think that at the end of the day, it comes down to what market are they in? What region are they in? What does that community need? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our customers, the difference between our customers is what their community needs, where their community is at. So, for example, if they're a community who hasn't had fiber before or has been what we would consider underserved, for example, they haven't had access to after-school education and support. They haven't had access to healthcare or whatever it looks like. So that's a customer that we really want to help communicate to your community what's available. Mm-hmm. Then there are those, like yourselves or some of our larger customers who have no choice but to take a much more strategic approach to be competitive and to get to that place. So if this, a lot of new customers who are 3 years old, they don't yet have any churn because they're too young. Mm-hmm. And they're just establishing how to be competitive because it's new markets.
Right.
So those are customers where we have longer and more strategic conversations about who are you now? What do you need to do to get to X goal? And then who do you want to become after that? So those would be two examples of types of customers we have.
When you talk about, and you do a really good job of keeping everything very layman's terms, mm. right? Knowing all the tech talk that really does sit sure. inside your mind. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about SaaS for like the common consumer at home that wouldn't even know what that was, how would you dive into or delve into a nice quick explanation into the platform part of everything?
For the subscriber?
Yes.
I love this question. I could talk about this all day. okay, so I would say something like, okay, picture your home. I always talk about this. We have these slides at Calyx that I just love where it's like a picture of a home. And you see inside of that home, you have like mom working from home in her office in the top left corner. Downstairs, you have Tommy and he's gaming on his device. Upstairs, you have like Sally and she's streaming. And then you have dad who like just went out to walk the dogs, but he's coming in with groceries and he's bringing, mom over for dinner. That's a household. That's a pretty, say they just bought that house. They just built that house. These days, and this is what I would say to you, do you have kids?
I do.
Okay.
I have an 8-year-old.
You have an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. So you go home with your 8-year-old. You built this house. You decorated it to look exactly how you want it to look. Mm-hmm. And now you layer the digital layer over your home. And that is as fundamental as does the couch match the tile, match the et cetera these days? Because we live digitally now.
I have a smart house.
You have a smart house. Yeah. Exactly. For someone like you, I would say what you care about is that when your 8-year-old son is at home, that while he's on his tablet, you can be over there hammering out email or cooking dinner and not have to worry that he's going to have something nefarious pop up on his screen. Mm-hmm. You also know that he's not going to accidentally click yes by now and launch a virus onto all of the devices, every light bulb inside of your home. Mm-hmm. This is the way that me as a BSP, if that's what I was, this is the way I want to interact with you so that the things that you do on the internet, the way that you interact with the internet is safe and secure and is exactly what you need.
What a nice explanation. So a lot has changed over your course of time in this part of the industry. I can only imagine.
Oh, yes. And I will say, even some people who listen to this are going to be like, yeah, she doesn't get it. We need to be touting that it's our one gig service. And it has taken a heck of a lot of work to get fiber in the ground or whatever type of network I have to be able to tout that gig. And she's telling me she wants me to punt it out the door now. Like, do you know how disrespectful that is? And that's where
But you're thinking this way, not looking behind. Yes, yeah, you have to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I do think it's really important that we all respect and acknowledge how hard this industry has worked to get to where we are. Mm-hmm. Wow, a lot of work to establish such high quality connectivity for so many people. We're not throwing one gig out the door. We're saying you've done such great work that your one gig or your five gig, your Wi-Fi 6, whatever it looks like, is fundamental to people's lives. So thank you. Let's help them by speaking the way they need to be spoken to take advantage of this great gift you're bringing.
What is the most common misperception about this part of the industry? I mean, you're speaking my language, right?
Sure.
Coming in as a no-name, a new brand, mm-hmm, in outlying communities, mm-hmm, where a lot of the monopolies or competition have brand awareness. We're laying a superior product. Mm-hmm. They don't really know what that means either, you know, between cable and fiber optics. Like, what is the true difference? And we're realizing that education component is essential. You know, we're tasked with disrupting the Florida-Georgia line. So from as far east as St. Simons, and we're going all the way over to the Panhandle. And it's been interesting because it's the split market for me. Brunswick is reacting in a totally different consumer behavior type silo as opposed to the Panhandle, sure, a more tourist-ridden area would be. But the education component into streaming and OTT and where everything's kind of living today, do you spend a lot of time talking about that aspect of it? Because there's a big gap, knowledge gap, I think, yes, from the consumer to what it is we really do.
Absolutely. There's a huge gap. And so I look at it as kind of like this trickle down. So there's a gap from the consumer understanding just what it is that the provider is doing. Mm-hmm. But then there's a gap for the provider in understanding what the consumer needs to hear. Mm-hmm. I honestly, again, I'm like you. I'm 2.5 years into the industry, so I don't want to speak out of school here. But it feels to me a little bit like what I've learned so far is that the subscriber doesn't care. They're not going to care.
Period.
What they care about, exactly.
If it works.
Does it work? Is it the best? You can tell me that you have fiber. I don't know what symmetrical service means. Mm-hmm. I also don't know that it's not your fault when my Wi-Fi is a piece of junk.
Right.
And I'm going to blame you and I'm going to call you and then I'm going to defame you on your website. And so I think maybe getting to the root of your question is the subscriber is never going to care unless we help them understand that we know what they need. Mm-hmm. We care about what they need so that they understand, oh, my Wi-Fi is down, but my provider has communicated with me. They know what's happening. And there's a little bit of that, kind of what you're talking about. Where is the gap? If we can help the user, the end user, the customer understand the difference between internet and Wi-Fi, for example, if we can help them understand, you know, what symmetrical service is versus, not true fiber, if we can help close some of those gaps, our marketing job or our retention rates increase because they're actually interacting with the product and they have a little bit of understanding of it. But I hate to say it, that's hard to do. Mm. And if we focus on that, they're not going to listen. If we focus first on helping them feel intrinsically understood and supported, then they'll listen to some of those things. So I think it's like a little bit of chicken and egg sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And seeing is believing, mm-hmm, you know, when you come in and you're able to bring a service that the neighbors are talking about. That viral component is so magical too. I think when you are bringing the superior solution, especially to outlying smaller communities too, where everybody still barbecues together.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, exactly. If one person likes it, the next person likes it. And if they don't, then they don't, and so on.
So what then goes behind the psychology of the cell and the marketing for you when you sit in this high level of technology and your tech talk, and then you need to kind of peel back those layers to talk the talk mm-hmm. that they need you to talk mm-hmm. so that they're engaged?
Sure. I think it's twofold. So firstly, we need to go in and stop talking about the tech. Mm. We need to go in first and shut up and listen. I watch us, I know this is going to be streamed live, but I watch us talk about ourselves and our beautiful advanced, fast-growing technology all the time, and then go down this deep rabbit trail about their network, the structure of it, the way they've built their data center, so on and so forth. But we are not talking about the outcome they need to get to. I think that the psychology behind the cell is twofold. One, I think we need to pause and stop talking about the tech as a lead-in. We at Calyx can be really good at going in and talking about our beautiful platform, that we have made data available that no other provider or no other vendor has, that it layers on top of any device. You don't even have to have Calyx devices to gather this data. You know, we can go and have all these conversations, and then we can go down a rabbit hole of what does your network look like? How have you structured your data center? So on and so forth. And we leave and we've had this exciting and energizing conversation about technology, but have either of us moved our business forward? Mm. Have either of us understood in a better way or even in any way what the network you serve needs?
Right.
Who are they? So I really talk with my team a lot about just pause for a minute and ask them about what their business model is. They don't really have a business model. They know, well, I've served this community of 1,000 or 5,000 people for this amount of time. Ask them questions about what's changed. What's new in your world? Oh, all of a sudden you have competition. Okay, how are you facing that? And have a conversation to understand where their goals are and what their business strategy is. And then from there, that's how you establish what technology your perception of what they need is. Mm-hmm. And then you have the technology conversation later.
Okay. Do you work closely with marketing then?
I do. I think we all do. At Calyx, sure. It's a really fast moving. We launch new products every quarter. We launch new features on inside of our existing products every quarter. So we're always in communication with marketing. I have a really good product marketing team for the products that I own. They don't report to me. We work side by side.
Sure.
Lots of conversation about how do we message this one? What should we be saying? Not always in full agreement on those things, but that's sales and marketing, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of collaboration, yes.
So what's coming? What's new? We've got new products to talk about. So sure. What can we talk about?
Sure. So the biggest thing that in my org that we launched this year was our small business solution.
Okay.
It's called Smart Biz. Mm-hmm. But again, I'll go in and talk about small business. Not talk about Smart Biz, you know, mm-hmm. And that was on the heels of launching our Engagement Cloud Plus, which so our Engagement Cloud is the you know, it's a single platform at Calyx. It's one data center, one data lake with various, you know, for lack of a better term, it's a persona. So it's a way that we surface the data to you based on a use case so that you can digest it in a meaningful way that impacts your business. So we have one, the Engagement Cloud, that is for you to have visibility into the activities inside of the home that help you figure out what the heck should my message to this group of homes be.
Sure.
We have another one that supports call center and a whole host of activities inside of efficiency and productivity and personalization inside of, you know, a call center activity. And then we have another one that's quite literally visibility into your network. An ONT goes down, you're made aware of that, gives you an alarm, et cetera, and so on. Then you take that knowledge, you go into the Engagement Cloud, you send out a proactive push notification. We know you're down, we'll be up in 2 hours. Say that was 20 homes that were impacted by that outage. Now those 20 homes, you've deflected 18 of those 20 calls to the call center, and you've just created an efficiency in your business. Mm-hmm. So inside of that total picture, the engagement cloud persona, that visibility into the home, we launched a product in the beginning of this year that is visibility into your future network.
Okay.
So you have all this data for your existing network, but now you want to grow and you want to expand. Where do you want to go? Take a look at where you win. Take a look at where you have been really successful. Let's go find a lookalike market, mm-hmm. for example. So on the heels of that, so that's been a large initiative this year to get this up and running in the market.
Okay.
Overwhelmingly positive response, especially with the growth happening. The next piece we launched was our small business solution. We've realized, quite frankly, there's a gap in the market. Most providers either have an enterprise solution for, you know, 1,000 employees or less. It's $800 a month or whatever it looks like. Or you have a residential solution with a special phone number they can call to skip the queue. And a lot of the businesses, you know, we just went and had lunch at, was it called Maggie's? Just breakfast before we came here. Whoever owns Maggie's, they don't have an IT team.
Right.
They have a cook or a chef and a few people running front of house, and they need internet because they need to transact with you. Mm-hmm. And if their internet goes down and they can't transact with you, no one has cash anymore. That's a successful day or not. Mm-hmm. So we picked that niche where it could be the small business and then the small business plus. So I'm Maggie's, but I also have a Maggie's in three other cities, for example, mm-hmm. and they may not be inside of the same Live Oak network. So the other location might be in a different network, but how do I make sure they can all be connected despite the fact that they're off of your network?
Okay.
And it's been this probably our fastest growing SaaS-based, cloud-based product because all of a sudden, we also built an interface with it. So a really helpful application that is plug and play, super customizable, but it gives them a lot of visibility into what's happening inside of their business, security, all these things. And that has just taken off because we serve a lot of rural America and there's just nothing like that.
And you said you roll out new products how many times a year?
4 times a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when do you go to the drawing board for that?
Sure.
Does that start at the fiscal end of 1 year and you already know what's going to come out the next year?
Sure.
Or is it something you do incrementally?
So we're on a quarterly release cadence. And just to make sure I'm being clear, you know, we don't launch a brand new product every single quarter. A lot of it will be a feature release. Okay. We usually launch most of our new products in the third quarter in October in alignment with Connections, which is our annual user conference.
Okay.
Have the big splash, launch the new things, roll them out over the course of the second half of the year, you know, that kind of thing. But the cadence for decision on which feature do we upgrade, which feature do we launch, which we also have a vast partner network, which partner do we bring in and build into the system through API, you know, really open data share. It's ongoing. So for me, every Friday, there's a call with a group of people who own various product lines, and we are going through the process of, do we focus on age in place? Do we focus on deeper parental control? What piece of the roadmap do we want to go down? We service that up to product. They establish or, you know, can help us understand, well, this one's going to take a year. This one's going to take 3 months. This one's going to take this. And then we layer that on with all of our customer feedback. That's one thing I'm really impressed with Calix by. In all of the SaaS companies I've worked for, they're listening to what the customers are asking for. Maybe it's because it's a single industry where I've sold across many verticals, so very disparate needs for the customers. But here it's, well, we keep getting asked for X and Y, so that could take a year, or we could add 4 more developers and it can take 6 months, and let's prioritize that. So it's an ongoing iterative process.
Okay. And so after these calls on Fridays, then you get with the team and everybody kind of gels on the best way to bring this to market or upsell it?
Yes. I'll say first, like, we have a little battle about who wins and what product is going to be put in place. And honestly, admittedly, some of that goes above my pay grade as well. Once we've established what we're bringing to market, yes, there's a rigorous process of, we do this process where we bring it, we identify maybe 10 or 20 existing customers who this could be a really good fit for based on what we know about them. And we interview them. Okay. We have conversations with them about how would you talk about it? What would you say? Here are our ideas. Also, do you want to test it? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be in our program? We have what's called the lab, which is like our idea board, our customer. We also have our customer advisory board, which is called the CAB, all these acronyms. But so we have all these different channels by which we gather information to then figure out what the go-to-market message should look like, much like we're telling our customers to do, gather data rather than going blind and saying, well, I know this network, or sorry, I know this neighborhood is a whole bunch of new homes. It's probably gonna be young families. Mm-hmm. But then a whole bunch of retirees, empty nesters move in there, and you're asking them, add a member to your family sharing plan. I'm like, I don't have any family. Mm-hmm. But if you told me that my desperate housewives of whatever's never going to go down, you couldn't put a price on that kind of thing.
Right.
So we adhere to a very similar process of gathering data, curating it. The things that are coming are usually decided, you know, well a year in advance because we've had to go through this process.
What is some of the biggest changes you've seen across the board since you have been in the industry?
In the industry? I do think that when I started, there was a real aversion to anyone telling a broadband company, like myself as a vendor, telling a broadband company that they need to change their strategy or have a strategy or whatever it looked like. I sat down in meetings and I was told many times, you're not a provider, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And respectfully, I don't. And now 2 years in, it's like this little shift has happened. We're not 180 degrees, like we're 130 degrees of, can you just tell me a little more about that last time when you were sharing? You know, we're kind of seeing a little competition coming in, or our fiber is now in the ground, phase one. We kind of don't have the take rate we thought. Everyone knows who we are. Why wouldn't we? So now that the growth is happening, I think the branding conversation is becoming more welcoming or more welcomed and more prevalent. I'm speaking from the brand side of things. Now, my teams who own our access and premise piece of the business, which is a massive piece of our partnership with every customer, they may have a very different answer.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. So what do you think are some of the challenges that you're facing today with where you're sitting and really how quickly technology is outpacing all of us? Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that you're facing today?
Well, honestly, I think that you said it right there. Outpacing. Mm. I think so technology is outpacing the subscriber, and that is causing the subscriber's expectations to evolve so rapidly, it's really hard to keep up. Mm-hmm. And in this industry, we've become fundamental inside of the home. We have to do the work to stay current and to understand our customer. And I think that's really hard. Now, for Calix, I also think we need to make sure we're working at the pace that our customers can move at. So we you know, like I said, we have quarterly release cadence. We want all of our customers to be making database decisions. Some of our customers don't even know what it means to look at data, and I make no insult to that. They're just so immersed in their community. So I think as Calix, some of the risk is, or you were asking about risk, mm-hmm. right? I think some of the risk is if we don't make sure to listen first and slow down a little bit and really understand the nuances of every customer and then guide them on the aspects of our platform that can be helpful to them now versus a year from now. If we go in and say, yeah, you need data and you need it all right now, they're going to buy it all now and they're not going to use any of it. And then they're going to be like, you sold me a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot with my team about grow your partnership with the customer at the rate that they are growing and consuming as well. And I think that cascades from the vendor down to the provider, down to the subscriber. And really, the subscriber dictates it all, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. So I think the hubris for Calyx being like, we have all these data scientists and we're getting it all figured out. And then the hubris of the provider, the BSP, to say, I've lived in this community for who knows how long. I know better than you. We all need to let that go. Mm-hmm. And we just need to say, there's Comcast and there's Cox and there's Spectrum and whoever else out there that can give it cheap because they've got a ton of money. But also, they're not just reducing their price. They are offering parental control. They are offering they are offering network security outside of just the basic network security. They are providing you things like security cameras for inside of your home, and we'll install it and we'll manage it for you. And the list goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden, when that subscriber, oh, I have my internet, oh, I have my security cameras, oh, I have my protection for my kids, oh, wait a minute, do I have an alarm with, now I can't quit them.
Right.
And so we need to get super tight on what the subscriber needs now, but what are they going to need? And that's an accountability for Calyx, I think. We've got a big machine. We need to tell you what's coming and then help you be as sticky as the Cox so that Cox reduces their price by $5. You don't need to reduce yours to five more because that's the race to zero. Mm-hmm. You need to keep your price the same, and if not, increase it because you just added Bark, which is, I mean, you probably know what Bark is.
I do. Mm-hmm.
So if you have Bark through your provider where it's monitored and supported and it's all encompassing, you're not going to want to leave that provider.
Mm-hmm. You brought up SmartBiz. Was that the one you brought up earlier?
Yep.
What would, so next year, I would assume there will be some value add to SmartBiz as you evolve into another year, because you're always looking at a way to keep that consumer stickier.
Yes.
Right? So can you talk a little bit about SmartBiz and, and what it means for the small business?
Yeah. So I love this product. I think it's so cool. We have so many people at Calyx, interestingly, who their spouses have these small businesses. So there's a woman on my team and her husband has two Tex-Mex restaurants. And they're in, you know, a bit more of a metropolis. They're not in a rural neighborhood. And if his internet goes down, he can't take service. And based on the rent for the building, it's, if I have 3 days a month down, I'm breaking even. I'm not making any money. Mm-hmm. So the SmartBiz is fundamentally meant to be safety and security for the small business. Okay. It's also meant to manage all of the technical nuances that a tech team would manage for you.
Okay.
So, and it's done in a really easy way. The application we have is called CommandWorks. It's just a fancy way of saying we took a whole bunch of the features and functions that we, that, you know, for a home would be an upsell, network security, you know, things like this. We've baked it into the application so that it's really cookie cutter, easy for anybody. The term, you know, one of our guys at the company always says, it's pretend, you know, you're the gluten-free baker on Main Street and you have all these people coming in and sitting for a cup of coffee and eating your goods and you're passionate about baking. So inside of that application, they've gone out of their way to make it easy so he can set it up so that his point of sale is a protected network. Mm-hmm. He can set it up like simple, one click, fill in your email address, really simple. So he can fill out, should the internet go down, there's a backup failover so that my point of sale stays online and I can still transact. Well, hang on a minute. I've got 25 people sitting in here. Well, I don't want them looking at rated content while they're sitting in here. So I can set a control so that there's a network just for patrons and it has gates on it. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm in a university town, you know, and so I want to be able to collect all the email addresses when people log in and I want to market to them. I want when people log into my internet, there's a little page there that has a coupon for a buy one, get one. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that big business is able to do, the visibility they get into who their customer base is, the opportunity for, you know, like I said, the coupon for advertisement that aren't available to the gluten-free baker become available.
Okay.
So that's one of the value adds that we've looked at. And then now we're looking at, and what if that baker has multiple locations and they're just, they don't have time to drive all around. They need some kind of security that if I have internet with three different providers in three different cities, what if I could consolidate that? And if one goes down here, then off of the network, off net, it can pick up and we can support it no matter what. So looking at creative ways to simplify their business model as well.
What are some other fun things that are coming up for Calyx?
Oh, goodness. What's coming? So, you know, one of the things that's been really important and admittedly is the foundation of some of the work we've done with the data piece of things, the cloud piece, the platform piece. We call it the revenue edge. Some of the things, or our foundation, excuse me, is in the customer support piece. That was the first persona, the first data segment we surfaced. So someone calls in. And they're like, I keep hitting a bandwidth limit hit. Well, you can look in the dashboard and you've got a pretty good sense that it's probably because their smart fridge is chewing up all the bandwidth and they don't know that. So you can troubleshoot. Really, you know, the scenario for that product was to reduce call times, but also to increase the subscriber experience. Okay. And that is quite literally, I should have said it by now, that permeates our entire model is... As a brand, Miss BSP, build your brand around the quality of the subscriber experience. So that we call that, we used to call it Support Cloud. Now we call it Service Cloud because it's servicing the customer. We are looking at evolving the functionality in that. So we will come out with a very upgraded version of that. That's can't quote me on this. And if anyone in marketing is listening, it might be called Service Cloud Plus, but probably not. And it will change 5 times. And I can't say that. You're marketing. You get it.
I get it.
This is not GA yet.
Yes. Yeah.
But Service Cloud Plus for until we rename it, it's going to do things like enable the tech. So we're coming out with Smart Tech IQ. So you have all these techs in these trucks driving around everywhere and they get to the home and they're like, what's your problem? Imagine if they had a tablet they could pull up and they could have full visibility into every device connected to the ONT inside of the home and say, oh, hi, you know, I'm Sam from Live Oak. I know you are having some issues. Here are your issues. Here's how I can help you. And also really help that tech to say, so can you just download the app right now? And we can just liaise here and fix your problems really quickly, giving the tech the capability to be in and out much quicker, which we know is important, but really have a good experience, empower them with knowledge so that they're not going in and just looking at the wall for a minute and not engaging with the customer, which the subscriber, excuse me, which I know is challenging for some techs and they don't want to do that. But as we look at how we evolve the subscriber experience, every touch point is an opportunity to have a positive interaction.
Right.
And we all know that every BSP, ISP is just dying to get their app installed more because the minute that app is installed, now you have an interaction point with your customer. You can send them a push notification, these kinds of things.
How is the app adoption rate?
Across the board?
Yeah.
So
I know ours is good, Garrett. Thank you. He handles that portion for us.
Yes, yours is very good. Mm-hmm. It is a roller coaster. It totally varies. It is really hard to say. It all depends on if the provider has done a few things. Has the provider supported the tech team to have a process for how, you know, encouraging, or is it a part of their process that the app is downloaded upon install or not? A lot of companies don't have that.
Okay.
So now it's after the fact. Once you put that box in my house and all my devices are connected, I'm never thinking about you again.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to think about you, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
So that is like a crucial moment of getting that device, that app downloaded when that device is installed until 3 years from now when you want an upgrade. So that's a fundamental aspect of it. And if they haven't built a strategy for that, one of the, you know, I always say at Calyx, we're selling a program or we're selling a partnership, not just a product, because one of the fundamental pieces, if you engage with us on the platform side of things and we go down the road of building out what your subscriber journey looks like, we will give you all these boot camps and all this training so that your techs feel supported in that. So if they're not doing that, for example, if they're not advertising it on their website, if they don't have a strategy for app adoption, it's going to be low.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a crucial piece to the success for Calyx.
Absolutely. Yes and no.
Okay.
So I guess, yes, it is crucial that people have strong app adoption to encourage high quality and frequent you know, proactivity with the subscriber, particularly inside of that engagement cloud. We want to send proactive notifications for, again, you're down and out, we know. Or, hey, we see that you hit a bandwidth limit hit. Do you want to, you know, beneficial to the ESP, do you want to try the 1 gig pack for free for 3 months? Click here. If you don't cancel, you're on 1 gig after that. There's a lot of mechanisms inside the engagement cloud persona that can help the BSP with their strategy. If they don't have it, they can still do all of those things. They just can't do them, you know, right
at their fingertips.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So as we look into 2024, give us a glimpse.
Oh, goodness. So that piece I mentioned about the service cloud upgrade is going to be huge for us. We are also really looking at growing. So the smart biz will grow and evolve. We are looking at, so the smart tech that I mentioned will be coming out. These are all future things. We also are really doubling down on the MDU space. I know you folks spend a relative amount of time in HOA. HOA, MDU, multi-dwell, whatever you want to call it, our portfolio, we are building it such that we support a home. But and I have to credit our president is really passionate about supporting the communities that we service. So we are building our portfolio so that it supports, you know, myriad types of communities.
Okay.
So we will be launching Smart MDU. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's particularly focused on, you know, you look at those high rises where it's like, okay, who has rights to access to the lines? Is there bulk deals we can do? You know, there's a whole host of scenarios there. But also inside of that, there's the gym. There's a business in the main floor of that, you know. And then with an HOA, you've got the golf course and the pool and the card room and whatever it looks like. And you want to have a really seamless experience so that in the retiree community, if my mother-in-law goes next door to her friend's house to play cards after dinner, that she's like, what's your password? I want to get on your Wi-Fi, you know. So we've been really intentional about building the platform so that it supports whatever use case for how your subscriber interacts with the internet. So we've got right now, we've got smart town. Mm-hmm. How do we light up your communities? How do we make it internet available in the park? How do we make it so that your kids who are going to the park, but they're under the age of 12, so maybe they don't have cellular yet, but they have a Wi-Fi device, they can be connected at the park and you know they're safe, for example. How does that then cascade into, okay, well, if it's a park or a golf course or the card room, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But we've got a solution to provide for it. And so we are going the next step in 2024 with Smart MDU and after that, Smart Venue. But Smart MDU particularly to say, how do all the aspects of what Calix provides come together to give you this, you know, kind of matrixed scenario you have inside of an HOA or an MDU?
That feels completely seamless to the consumer.
Completely seamless to the consumer, but also seamless to you, the BSP, who's got to manage the back end of it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And are larger metropolises kind of where these things are so commonly practiced, are they a good starting ground to say, all right, we're going into these outlying communities, and in some cases that'll have fiber for the first time, they don't even understand the wheel of death. That is normal to them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That they've been living in this. So where is your footprint coming from?
Well, so the first piece of your question of, you know, these larger metropolis, is this a good use case? Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more traffic, the more, you know, you get into the snowbird thing, and there are just so many use cases here that this will just be so, this scenario will be so ripe for.
Yeah.
And what excites me is that we are doing it, you know, one of, you know, simplify, excite, and grow. Those are our three mantras at Calix.
Yeah.
And I'm so impressed by our team. They're doing this in a simple way. So, oh, you want to add smart biz. Oh, you want to add smart MDU. Oh, you want to get into whatever, smart town. Same hardware, same platform, same data set. So your tech isn't learning to install a whole bunch of new stuff. The process doesn't change. It just adapts based on your use case. And what that means is, oh, big metropolis, which means, okay, in X neighborhood over here, we need this. But in this neighborhood over here, we need something completely different. And then over here, no problem. So it's going to be really fun to work with those customers because we get to get creative and figure it all out. Separately, a small town of 2,000 people that want to make sure that the community center is lit up, that want to make sure that the park is lit up, that want to make sure that that the high school football arena or field and all the stands are lit up, but also that Maggie's and the grocery store and whatever are lit up, no problem as well, you know? Okay. So the use case will be across the board.
Anything you want to close with today?
You know, one of the things that's been on my mind lately, so I'm a very creative person by nature. I have lots of hobbies like painting and drawing outside of work. And I've just been thinking more about how do I bring creativity into the work that I do? I always have some kind of hobby outside of work because there's not selling SaaS isn't that creative. And I've started to learn with Calyx because our platform is growing so much, there is so much opportunity to become creative.
In the linear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling like I in November, I always start to write down, like, who do I want to be in 24? You know, like, what do I want to bring to 2024? I really want to work with my team on let's get creative in how we talk to our customers. Let's get creative on how we help Calyx understand what our customers are asking for. Let's not just say there's two ways to get this done, and if you don't fit in, then too bad. Like, let's get creative and let's bring, you know, I love this, like bringing this, you know, telehealth and these things to these underserved communities. Let's get super creative and get this done for people. So I feel really excited about that going into 2024.
And as the adoption of tech is here, it's not going anywhere, and it becomes more normal, don't you think, too, an advantage on our side is this is the new norm. It is the fourth utility, right, in terms of internet. It's not going away. I think people are going to become more and more and more interested in what we do.
Absolutely.
Which is fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the question you asked about, you know, how do we bridge the gap of the provider not understanding what we bring to them and the nuances of it. People are, and the generations coming up are so interested in technology now because it's just, it's like you say, it's the fourth utility, but it's also such an immersive part of their life. Mm-hmm. How many people work in tech now? How many jobs have been created because of tech? So absolutely, you know, reflecting on that question based on what you just said, there's probably going to be opportunity to help our subscribers become smarter.
And especially like you had brought up, you know, Glenn County, where we're sitting today during the pandemic, did not have online schooling or a great exposure to telehealth during the pandemic, which made a lot of these regions very ripe for what we were doing. So even the working from home, for a lot of people that don't understand how common remote work has really become, and is if you have a good connectivity provider and you have a computer, you can actually make a really good living at home.
Yeah, and people know? Are, I think the pandemic was just a, you know, a immensely challenging point in time for everybody for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. It did help us, or I do think it has conditioned us all to want to ensure we can always be connected at all costs.
Yes.
And
that's our freedom almost.
It, literally, you know, I live 3,000 miles from my entire family in my regular life, and not being able to go see them for Christmas or for birthdays or whatever it looks like was really hard. And my mom didn't know how to use Zoom, you know, and she didn't have very good internet. So we've all become conditioned that we want to ensure that at any moment we can be connected. And our industry, you know, you can look at it like, wow, what an opportunity for us to make some cash. But separately, you know, I'm candid if nothing, but separately, what an opportunity to support our communities.
It is.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, we're ending on that note. Cool. Feel the flow, Live Oak Fiber.
Thank you for tuning in. To learn more about Live Oak Fiber, visit liveoakfiber.com and feel the flow.